Our scripture reading for Maundy Thursday observance is John chapter 13, verses 31 through 38. Hear these words of Jesus. When he, Judas, had gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Here ends our reading. May God add his blessing to it. Some time ago, I learned an interesting fact about this passage that I had never recognized before. I was watching a rerun of the Jeopardy game show, and there was a contestant that day who happened to be a pastor, and it just so happened that one of the categories in the first round of Jeopardy, it was a category called the Bible. So this pastor got to go first, and he asked for the $100 question under the Bible. Now, the $100 question means that it is probably the simplest or the easiest or the most obvious answer. And here was the $100 question that day in the category of the Bible. How many commandments are there in the Bible? And he answered, 11. Well, now, naturally, the judge said that he was wrong. However, you can contest the judge's decision. You have to be able to prove to them on the spot and during the commercial break that your answer was correct. And so during the commercial break, he went to the judge with his pocket New Testament. He pointed to John chapter 13, verse 34, which says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you." Well, the judge reversed his decision, and he won the point. And you know, friends, as we grow in our faith, hopefully we will get the point, that we'll get to the point where John 13:34, a new commandment to love one another as he has loved us. You know, as we grow in faith, that is a commandment that we need to learn to follow. To love each other, not with the cheap imitations of the world, but rather to love others with the love of Christ, that unconditional love that seeks out reconciliation and redemption of broken relationships. And before I go any further, I want to add to and say this. John chapter 13, verse 34 is not commonly known as the 11th commandment. It does have a distinctive title, however. This verse is often referred to as the mandate of Christ. Now, in Latin, the word mandate is mandatum. And that's where we get the word Maundy. And that's what Maundy Thursday is all about, is remembering this new commandment to love one another as Jesus has loved us. It's also a day that we remember when our Lord gave us the blessing of Holy Communion. And you see, Holy Communion and the mandate of Christ are vitally connected. When we remember one, we also need to remember the other. When we receive the Lord's Supper, we also need to remember to follow the Lord's mandate as well. And this is what Jesus was trying to accomplish. You know, for 3 years, the disciples had followed Jesus. And in those 3 years, they came to understand that he was indeed the Messiah, that he would be bringing in the kingdom of heaven, and all of them would have a part in his kingdom. And that took 3 years. But they still had so much more to learn and understand. And this was going to be Jesus' last opportunity to teach them. Each of the gospel writers gives a slightly different account of what happened during this Last Supper. So let me just give you a synopsis of what happened. All the disciples come together in the upper room to celebrate the Passover meal, which is known as the Seder meal. And Jesus says, I have looked forward to this meal. Obviously, he has something important to say. Now, the Jewish custom was that when guests arrive for dinner, you wash their feet. And this would be the job of the servant. But if there were no servant, it would at least go to the youngest person present. And in this case, it would have been the disciple Andrew. But none of them thought about washing one another's feet. They all looked at each other and said, well, you know, it's not my job. And then they began a conversation about the kingdom of heaven, and pretty soon an argument breaks out about who will be greatest, which one of the disciples will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You know, Jesus is bringing in the kingdom of heaven, and we're going to be part of it. And they were saying, I wonder who's going to be the greatest. And they began to argue why they should be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Well, Jesus squelches that fight by taking a towel and a pan of water, and he goes around and he washes the disciples' feet. He did this to try to stop their pride. And he said to them, do you understand what I've done? I have washed your feet, and now I want you to wash one another's feet. In other words, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you must be willing to be a servant, because it's the servants who are the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, I'm sure at this point the fighting stopped, but they probably gave Jesus this blank stare. And any teacher will tell you that that infamous blank stare can be very discouraging. They're just not getting it. So Jesus tries again, and this time he uses an official pronouncement and says, love one another. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. And they get the same blank stare. And they simply look around and say, wonder what's for supper. So the bread and wine is brought in, and Jesus takes one last try at it. And by this time, he probably feels like he's dealing with spiritual kindergartners, and to some degree that he was dealing with spiritual kindergartners. And so he uses an object lesson. He picks up the bread and says, see the bread? And then he breaks it in two and says, this is my body, which is going to be broken for you. Remember my sacrificial love, and remember, this is how you are going to love each other, by being a sacrificial servant. And then he picks up the cup and says, see the cup? This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of this as often as you will in remembrance of me. In other words, remember that it is by my blood that you receive forgiveness. It is by the blood of Jesus Christ that we are transformed. It is by the blood of Jesus Christ that we are made into a new creation. And friends, we will not be able to carry out the mandate of Christ to love one another as he has loved us unless our hearts are made into a new creation by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you see, that's what communion is all about. It's about receiving forgiveness, but also being transformed. You know, communion is not just a memorial by which we remember Christ's love. It's not just a ritual act that we perform out of obligation. Communion is about receiving the transforming touch of God's grace. And it's during the communion prayer where I hold my hands over the bread and wine and I say, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the body of Christ for the world, redeemed by his blood. That communion prayer is just a fancy way of saying, Lord, touch these things so that you can touch me. Transform these common things so that you can transform my heart and life into a new creation, so that I can love others the same way that you have loved me. There's one last thought I need to share with you about the mandate of Christ, this so-called new commandment. I believe it's very important to the church at this time to look at that mandate and to find out in our current time, how are we being called to be a servant in order to fulfill the mandate of Jesus Christ? You might ask yourself, well, why do we have to love one another this way? Why do we have to become servants and show our love? And the answer is in verse 35. And Jesus says, by this, in other words, our acts of service, by this, all will know that you are my disciples. The best and greatest witness we can do in the world is to be a sacrificial servant to others, even when they don't deserve it. Because that is what Jesus did on the cross for us. Now, we are not able to physically take communion using this medium, but I do have a prayer it's been designed for people who are not able to be physically present at a communion service. And since that means all of us, I'd invite you to bow your head with me and repeat this prayer after me. My Jesus, I believe you are present in the elements of Holy Communion. I love you above all things, and I desire you with all my heart. Since I cannot now receive you physically, I ask you to come spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already in my heart, and I unite myself to you completely. Please do not let me ever be separated from you. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.